Yes, I am back for a Thursday edition of the program. How they let me keep coming back, I'll never know, but I'm going to run with it while I can. Matt Shook, who joins us for his weekly visit. How you doing?
Not too bad. A little bit under the weather, but I guess that's what comes with the time of year we have here, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, today is probably my best day this week with my voice coming back after three football games last week in the cold and rain. And then I'm going to turn right around tomorrow and do it all over again.
Where are we at tomorrow night?
We're going to go down to St. Clair Shores and watch the Lakeview Port Huron High game.
Okay. And Lakeview Port Huron High. Lakeview going for their first district title or something?
Yeah, first in school history. First off, their eight wins is a new school record. This is the second year in a row that they made the playoffs. Second year in a row they've played in a district final against the Port Huron team, too, by the way, which is the first in school history. So, and they're trying to win a district title for the first time, and the Big Reds are going to try and get in the way of that.
Yeah, a little bit of success with the St. Clair Shores schools in some basketball eras, I believe, that come to mind, but not a lot of football success for the St. Clair Shores schools over the years. So, like you said, Port Huron High should have a decent chance to go get a win.
And another game going on tomorrow night that I won't be at, but I've got people going that'll keep me updated on what's going on, is Elmont Marine City. And that, you know, Matt, we always think about offense because every week we read scores where those teams win 40-something to nothing. But I think defense is going to win that game this year because I think the Mariners have given up 69 points all season. I believe Elmont has held their opponents under 80 points for the season. So I actually think defense will be what wins the game tomorrow night at East China Stadium.
You got me convinced. That's absolutely true. And the first thing that came to mind when you mentioned those two schools is a nice little uniform battle, the same colors for both of those games going into it. So that's fun. And then, like you said, Ron Glodich, to see if he's able to make another long run to close out his career would be just a tremendous thing. And obviously, he's going to have them ready, so the Mariners are going to be tough to beat, that's for sure.
Well, let's start with the Lions, because that should be easy to kick around.
Absolutely. Why not?
One of the interesting things, I think, this week was the fact that at some point they had Jay Ajayi in to look at as a possible running back. Another guy, Matt, that would have loved to have had a few years ago, but is now, you know, coming off injuries and not much success lately.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think they need some kind of solution at the running back. I was really surprised to see that they didn't make a deal at the trade deadline, even a minor one, to pick up someone to add to the running back rotation. We saw that, you know, against Oakland on Sunday, the Lions running backs did maybe a little bit better than they have been, but the bar is so low that that's an easy thing to get over. And then, of course, McKissick did fumble the handoff from Matthew Stafford, so that was a big play that, you know, you can blame whoever you want on that one, but obviously the inexperience that running back shows in those types of situations. They did pick up Bo Scarborough for the practice squad the other day, a name that you remember from Alabama, having a few really nice college football games, but obviously a guy who's on the scrap heap right now, so not much to get excited about there. But yeah, it's just guys in, you know, McKissick and Ty Johnson that can do a couple things well and are kind of role players, but you just look at that backfield and you're thinking, like, who's that real number one back that you can get even excited about to go win some games here in the second half of the year? Obviously, you don't want to invest too much in it, knowing that Kerryon Johnson is hopefully going to be healthy throughout the rest of his career and will be your guy. But, yeah, a lot of just the big hole there back in running back right now.
All right. Matthew Stafford's play last Sunday, that was a really good performance by him. I've never been a big Stafford guy. It's not that he hasn't put up the numbers, Matt. I know he's put up the numbers, but in the past I've questioned his leadership. Is he the guy that can get you the big win? But as I look at things through eight games, one of the things we love to do in media is give out midseason grades. Stafford's one of the few guys on this team I'd give an A to. And there aren't very many guys after that who would get a high grade from me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's been really good, no doubt about it. You can't really, even his biggest detractors will admit that he's having a great first half of the season. We've seen this before. You know, he's had great first halves of the season before, and obviously now the context of the Lions season is that it's pretty much over in terms of making the playoffs and reaching all the goals that you wanted to reach in terms of winning the division, and obviously not mathematically over, but at this point I think we're having more of a conversation about next year and figuring out the long-term, you know, situation for the franchise. But I think with Matthew Stafford in that regard at 31 years old, 11th season, I think as opposed to coming into this season where a lot of the narrative was about how if he doesn't have a good year, maybe you trade him and cut bait and start thinking about another quarterback situation. But I think that it's, you know, very clear at this point that Matthew Stafford is your guy for the foreseeable future. Whether that's a long, long-term future, I still don't know that. But I think for the medium term and certainly the short term, he's your guy. And for the Lions fans that want to cut bait and move on from Matthew Stafford, I would watch the opposing team this weekend in Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky, a guy that was picked the second in the draft, you know, a really high draft pick that is, you know, on his way out of the NFL perhaps relatively soon, just how he's just not very good. And the Lions fans would be good to remember the days of Stoney Case and Rodney Pete, and the list goes on and on of the Ty Detmers of the world and Jeff Garcia and Joey Harrington. I mean, you and I could probably go back and forth all afternoon, and it would give everyone a headache, and they'd probably, you know, crash off the road.
Well, yeah, because you left out Charlie Batch, and you left out Scott Mitchell, and you left
Dave
out John
Craig.
Kitna, and Dave Craig, and Joe Ferguson. And
yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time. In fact, that might be a good parlor game for your Thanksgiving table. Just put that up for the family. Yeah, everyone will have their favorite greatest hits of the Lions quarterback pass. Yeah, it's a great time.
All right, the Pistons. I'm gonna give the Pistons some marks here. 4-5, you would think is no big deal, but this is a team that's 4-5. They've got Indiana Friday night, a team they've already beaten twice this year. Through 10 games, if the Pistons were a 500 basketball team, when you consider they have not had Blake Griffin for a single minute this season, Reggie Jackson basically hasn't played for them this season because the couple of games he has been in, he was ineffective because of his back. And now doing it without Derrick Rose. And for them to even be competitive in basketball games, it says a little bit to the job that Casey's doing and to the job that the players they have are at least trying to do.
I agree. We'll start with the good news, and that's that Blake Griffin sounds like he's been medically cleared today, and he's day-to-day. So it's not necessarily saying that he will definitely play tomorrow in Indiana, but it's certainly a good sign and something that Pistons fans have been waiting for. The bad news is that, like you said, 4-5, respectable given the injury situation, but this is the time of year in the schedule that's really soft right now. The Pistons have the easiest schedule before the All-Star break in the entire NBA based on the metrics that when the schedules came out. And then they have the toughest schedule in the entire NBA after the All-Star break. So, yeah, like you said, treading water. The season isn't over. Everything's going okay at 4-5 so far this year. But this is really the kind of time of year where they should have been stacking wins. They should have been, you know, 7-3 in the first 10 games, something like that. And obviously, like you said, they're treading water. They're doing fine. But overall, looking at this 82-game season, this is actually not a great start for them, you know, mathematically and projection-wise, and they're going to be in a little bit of a hole. So when Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose and whoever else is going to come back relatively soon, those guys need to get in there and they need to get some wins right away, and there needs to be some urgency and get everything going, you know, in the right direction right away. I mean, there's no kind of wiggle room at this point. Indiana, Minnesota, Miami, these are big games that are coming up these next three. And, you know, they got to get as many wins as they can while the schedule is soft.
What was it, 38 assists last night for the Pistons?
Yeah.
And Snell and Morris with big games. Is this just because it was the Knicks, or is this something that we can hopefully expect more of from the Pistons?
I think that, like, Tony Snell, in a funny way, is, like, really consistently inconsistent. I think that's kind of been his thing throughout the entire career. I've talked to some of the experts who followed him in Milwaukee, followed him in Chicago. And he's just one of these guys that every few games has a really good game. Now, obviously, last night was probably the best game of his career. Anytime you go 9-9 like that and shooting 6-6 from three, that's outstanding for anyone. But it's just like one of these guys who can be on the court for 35 minutes in a game, and you're like, wow, was Tony Snell out there much tonight? And you just kind of didn't realize it. He doesn't really do all that much. But then like I said, he has these games every now and then. And Markieff Morris, it's been up and down for him so far this year, obviously last night being a nice bright spot for him. There have been times that he hasn't looked very good. I think that, you know, obviously with Griffin out, he's asked to do more and shoulder more of the load than he can maybe handle at this point. So I think the Blake Griffin return, obviously getting your best player back is a good thing, however you slice it. But I think guys like Markieff Morris and Tony Snell are going to really benefit from being placed in basically their new roles for this team, as opposed to trying to step up and be a crunch time scorer or a big time contributor, you know, quarter in and quarter out. So I think that's going to really help those guys to have Blake back.
All right. The NBA has really changed, Matt, because Hakeem Olajuwon averaged 22 points and 11 rebounds a game and was a Hall of Fame superstar that every kid knew who Hakeem Olajuwon was. Everybody talked about Hakeem when he played. Shaq, 24 points a game, 11 rebounds a game. Everybody,
had a poster.
Everybody knew who Shaq was. Bill Russell, 15 points a game, 22 rebounds a game. Everybody knows who Bill Russell is if you're a basketball fan. Nobody's talking about Andre Drummond and his 22 points and 19 rebounds a game.
Yeah, and it's been really, really good. I mean, if you're watching these games, and, you know, Andre's not a 82-game-a-season guy. He's not going to go out there and blow you away every night. He's had a couple of games already this season that haven't been great. But like you said, more times than not, I mean, he's having an outstanding season so far. I mean, if the season were to end today, you could make a legitimate case that he's a first- or second-team all-NBA guy, certainly an all-star right now, carrying this team, doing everything that everyone asked of him. He kind of quietly went from a horrific free throw shooter to something like a passable free throw shooter over the last few years. I don't think he gets enough credit for that nationally either. And the fact that he's turned the ball over a lot because they're asking him to run the offense through him with all these point guards being out. And you know what? He's doing really well with it. He's got not only the points and rebounds numbers that you talked about, but assists and steals and block shots. He's active defensively. This guy is having an outstanding season. And if the Pistons can put some wins together, you'll start to hear about them nationally. And no, they're never going to get the credit that the LAs of the world are going to get when you talk about ESPN and stuff like that. But I think that DeAndre Drummond, deservedly so, if he keeps up something like this pace, will start to get a little bit of buzz because it's a long season and there's a lot of airtime to fill on the radio and a lot of TV shows to talk. So there will be some talking heads that start talking about Drummond if he keeps this up, which, you know, all indications are that he's just going to be in for a really big season this year.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying if he were a Laker or a Knick, the NBA would be making a lot of money on his jersey right now because it would be every channel, everybody who covers the NBA, whether it's ESPN, TNT, whoever, they'd be talking about Andre Drummond and people would be buying his jerseys.
Yeah, everyone's going crazy about Dwight Howard right now because he's playing slightly above average when nobody had any expectations for him for the Lakers. So, like you said, if he was playing as the best player on the team in a good situation in a top market like that, we'd be hearing so much about Andre Drummond. But obviously, that's not necessarily happening, but that's how we like it in Detroit, right? Like, we like to be that underdog team, and we like to talk about it. Nobody talks about us, and that's fine. So maybe this team is kind of growing on people. Obviously, that remains to be seen. And it's very early in the season, and we want to see Andre put together a quarter of a season or a half of a season before we start anointing him under a new career path. But, yeah, certainly the early returns are very good for Andre.
Yeah, well, we got to have – so I know they're not NBA champion material. I know they're probably not even a team that's going to win a playoff series. But after watching the summer with the Tigers
– oh, my God.
After the Lions' first half of the season, after what the Red Wings are doing – after Michigan State football and Michigan State basketball losing to Kentucky in its first game. And, you know, I know the Wolverines are 7-2 in football, but nobody's taking them serious either because nobody thinks they can beat Ohio State. So, I mean, I got to have something to hang my hat on. And the Pistons are going to have to be it, I think. And that's shaky ground, too.
Yeah, we take what we can get in Detroit right now, that's for sure. And I think if you're watching the Pistons and you want to be optimistic, I think this is a guy that I've been in the corner for 2 years now, and that's Bruce Brown playing point guard. And I know that's kind of just out of necessity right now with all the injuries, but he's doing really well. One outstanding game, one pretty good game yesterday, and then one okay game against Washington, I think, for him individually the other night. So I just think that the Bruce Brown, Luke Kennard guard combination of the future, starting backcourt of the future possibility is out there. It's something that you could get excited about if Bruce Brown develops into that. And he's not going to be a traditional point guard. He's going to be a lot different than a lot of the point guards around the league. But what he brings defensively, and if you can kind of hide some of his issues offensively, and if those can kind of come along and develop, obviously the three-point shooting being the biggest one, then you might have a player that you can kind of feel good about. You might be a Detroit type of player that really fits in with the city and the image and everything too.
Yeah. All right. Tell everybody about the podcast.
Yes. Locked On Pistons. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, wherever you get podcasts, Megaphone. You can find the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going every day talking Pistons, and hopefully my voice will be a little bit better for the episode later on.
Thought you did pretty good today.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Dan.
All right. You enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, enjoy the football games.
All right. We'll see you, Matt. There's Matt Shook, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.